50 ways to say goodbye. Train. CliffCentral.com. It's just after 8 o'clock. Here he is, Steve Hofmeyr. We've been waiting to see you. Ons het gewag.
Môre, môre. We have to work on your Afrikaans content. That's why you invite me like once every 5 years.
Hey, we probably a little more honest about the fact that we have some Afrikaans content. Casper de Vries has a 2-hour show on a Friday.
All right, that's good.
Which is quite, it's a good start.
Is he funny in English?
He's funny in both. Don't you think he's funny?
You know, it was with the African roast that he, for the first time, realized he could crack jokes in English and people fell off the chairs. And he, since then, he's been doing both.
You did the first roast. And yeah. I suppose that's a good... Listen, first of all, I haven't seen you in a long time. You're still looking as healthy and vital as you did in Achter Elkerman. How the hell do you get that right? Yeah, but what is it with you? I mean, you just don't seem to... Your outlook on things changes, which is, I suppose, good, because people, you know, if you don't develop, if you're not evolving, you're just staying in the same place. Some people would say that your ideas are sending you in a completely odd direction. Other people would say that they love the direction you're heading in. But you're in the news this week. There's a lot going on. How do you manage not to lose all your hair, look very old, get tired, and quit the business? How does that not happen with you? It seems to happen with a lot of other people.
Listen, man, if I didn't know you better, we'd leave all this for a big kissing session. I just walk over there and say, thank you so much. Thank you. But no, I'm feeling it. Things don't want to work. Things give in. I go to gym. It's not the same effect anymore. No, I do feel it. I do feel it. I do try and lead a healthy life. I lead an extremely busy life.
Yeah.
I haven't had time to think about other things yet. Hey, you forget the group that thinks that I've stagnated somewhere in the past. I understand that as well.
Are there those people too?
I would like to think they're the majority out there. But you know, we're in that kind of country. It's very colorful. It's crazy to think that you're the only right one around and that there's consensus about opinions in this country.
By right, do you mean right wing or do you mean correct?
Correct.
Okay, let's be clear.
Correct. And that's how it goes. You like it or you don't like it. My inner conviction, you have contempt for my inner conviction. That's the kind of country we live in.
Does that mean that people who don't agree politically cannot sit and talk in an open, honest, respectful way to each other? Do you find that people who have a problem with your politics can't even sit in the same room as you? They've decided that you are not worth engaging with. Is that what you feel?
I think it's right. I think it happens as well. I have utter contempt for the things I hear. You know, when you come with two different schools of thought. We're going to have a capitalist sit next to a Marxist today, and we're going to take hands and discuss economy. Mm. You know, it's failed from the outset.
So you're saying there's actually no room here for a respectful dialogue. Actually, if people disagree that much on principle, it's not going to work. Full stop.
No, it just shows you where you have to start this conversation. It's certainly, I'd like to think, and that every little bit of liberal that's left in me would like to believe that nothing is not solved. By just sitting and having a chat, starting with coffee, and then going on from there. I think it can be done. But we start off with massive contestables, and we're not going to agree very soon, and I'm not going to agree very soon. Let it be said that the people who don't want to engage you and talk, there are two kinds. The one live in denial because they don't want to hear the other side. The other ones pretend out there that you're a clown and that it's a ridiculous school of thought that you have, but they can't convince you,
it seems. People who might say that you're just a singer or that you're a nutcase, does that worry you, or do you actually make an effort to bring them back to the table and try to explain your position to them?
No. 20 years later, I've lost the sense of trying around winning people for. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not winning people for my. I don't have a party. I don't have a group. I don't have even a great church that I want to convert people to. I have only one thing, and that's a deep inner conviction. And you have to change that.
What's that conviction? What is this pulse in the center of all of this? What's that conviction?
I suppose.
What do you feel most strongly?
I suppose to sum it up very quickly is that it was tougher than I thought. And to be a smiling little liberal
What is it? What is it that's giving you this energy? Because you could be a political party. I mean, there's this guy who started
righteousness is giving me that. Not self-righteousness, righteousness, justice. I want to live in a fair world, a fair for everybody. I was that crazy little white generation that when they needed white people to come to the front and own up to something and have a soulful moment, they voted yes for the new South Africa. They gave up sovereignty, all the power in the world, just because we believe in the potential of all South Africans. And that was a dagger in the heart of my people. And
that's a way of looking at it. That's not the way that everybody sees it. You see, the problem with history, and you, I know that you respect history.
Yeah, but you ask me.
Yeah, I am asking you. That's what fuels you. But does it ever occur to you that it might be worth stepping back and, I mean, respect is to look twice. So it's to look at it from your point of view and from the point of view of the other person. And there's so many people in this country who see history very differently to you.
Yeah,
do you think they're just wrong?
No, I think we're all different and we have to rub shoulders in this very small space. And if your inner convictions are treated with contempt, you're quite right. You should step back. You should step back. Step back once. Step back maybe 1 meter. And then eventually you see you've stepped back 5 meters. Some people give up after 10 meters. Some people give up after 20 meters.
How many meters down are we with you?
I'd say 1.5.
Yeah.
I'm not the stepping back kind, but I started by stepping back first. I think that's important. And that is not seen as a sacrifice at all because I'm white. But I started. I thought, let's share this incredible country. It has incredible people. I still believe in the potential of every single race, gender, tribe, and nation out there. But that kind of benevolence, that magnanimity, has cost my people everything.
What have you lost, Steve? I'm interested in this because I've got lots of Afrikaans friends who feel the same way as you do.
Yeah.
And I need to get it into my head. I must be clear. I must declare myself and my position up front so that you know. I don't have a tribe. Yeah. I'm made up of a whole mengelmoos of different things, right?
Yes, I understand that.
I don't associate myself with my whiteness. I don't associate myself with my Englishness or Afrikaansness, and you know I've got both.
Have you underestimated the liberty other people grant you to feel exactly the way you feel now? Because if you say you don't belong to a group, you're already a group of people who feel they don't belong to a group.
Yeah, but we don't get together, and we don't have songs, and we don't have a culture, and I don't have
Bankrupt spiritual life.
No.
What do you have?
Rock music,
rap music?
No, yeah, Steve, the world, please, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there aren't things that mean a lot to me. And there are things in European culture, in African culture, and in Asian culture, which I'm distinctly removed from tribally, but that I feel an affinity for, like an appreciation for a good song. You don't only listen to your own music.
No. I'm a world citizen as you are,
know. So I think that from a point.
But I need it. I need that same liberty that you have to walk away from tribes for me to approach tribes, to approach national, to still be a nationalist. Although it's fell in disfavor since the Second World War. You can't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Do you think that that people like D.F. Milan, who just prior to and after the war, and J.G. Strydom and H.F. Verwoerd, do you think that they had any kernel of understanding, sympathy, empathy, decency about other people, or were they only interested in the survival of their tribe? Because sometimes when you talk, I feel like the only people you care about are Afrikaners.
I care about them more than others. I'm an Afrikaner first, then a South African. So I prioritize. I'd like to know why I don't have the right to be like that.
No, you do. I'm not going to argue with
you. Well, that's why I would say the question you ask about D.F. Milan is, you know, like the Rhodes statue, which you and I kind of feel the same about. Why don't we raise every Christian church to the ground because Jesus said nothing about slavery? So you're going to ask me something about D.F. Milan, who is a child of his time. It's just past the era of conquest, and ask him about his sympathies and how nice he was. I don't know. What I will not do is judge him with a modern-day morality and find Rhodes wrong for what he did in 1902 and find Verwoerd wrong for what he did in 1906. They were children of their time. Yeah. If they had outright hatred.
But history is not on their sides. This is something, but even if we agree on perhaps statues and the importance of history, history is not on the side of those nationalists, those Afrikaner nationalists in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. They were completely wrong.
But shouldn't that worry you that the narrative changes all the time?
No, it doesn't worry me. I like change.
But we're speaking about casting a judgment on someone from the past. The narrative may change within 10 years that Rhodes is seen as preferable and his way of thinking, and some aspects are not. That's what we should do with history, is we learn from it. We don't break down. You don't tear out a page from a history book because it doesn't do anything for me.
So what is it, to go back to my question, that makes Afrikaans people feel like they've lost something? Haven't we all gained something since 94? We have freedom of expression like we never had it under the previous government. You're able to sing songs you couldn't sing then. Yeah. You could sing whatever you want. You can sing Die Stem at a gathering. You can. I'm not saying you do all the time. You can, though. You can sing any other song you like. And the people who love you and listen to you and are fans of yours can do and say whatever they like too. And sometimes the things they say can even be racist or hateful. That's not your responsibility, but they're allowed to express those opinions in this South Africa.
Yeah.
In the former South Africa, the South Africa Pride in 94, we couldn't even say those things.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I don't make apology for my culture's slow emancipation. I think being conservative is being cautious. And this is the kind of country where I think you should be exactly that. It doesn't mean we're not pioneers. It doesn't mean we're not progressive. We don't think ahead. But I think we're a cautious group and we become more and more. I like that way of thinking. So it's not a carelessness. I think it's the right way to think about it. It's like, I think what you're telling me is we've recently seen so many beautiful pictures about squirrels. Why should we worry about the rhinos?
No. I'm asking, what have you lost? What have Afrikaans people lost that they don't still have and that they aren't still proud of? I see, we mentioned these, is it the Guma or the Guma? I can't even pronounce Guma Awards that they had this week. Yeah. Now, this is a self-sustaining thing. The Afrikaans music industry is a burgeoning business. It has not gone backwards. If anything, since the 90s, it's exploded and become more popular than ever before.
Yeah, it has.
People like you have made an incredible career out of the Afrikaans culture and music industry. And really the thing that binds these people together is the language, is an appreciation and a love for that language. You can criticize it and do all kinds of things, but that's what makes people buy the stuff.
Yeah. Well, let me just get back to your first most important.
What have you lost, though? I mean, to me,
question.
That's one area that's gained. People are speaking Afrikaans.
You've just mentioned the word area, because a culture is a multiplicity and a spectrum of areas. That's what it is. And the most important thing we've lost as a group, as a tribe, and this is an international right, is the right to govern yourself with your own money, invest in the way you want to, and get out of it in the way you are used to. This is not a call for apartheid at all. I don't know why people say that.
Mm-hmm.
It is the international right for every government, for every group, not to be governed by other people. I think that's the first thing we lost. That's the most important thing we lost. Then let's get back to the definition of genocide. One of the five elements.
No, because that's a whole other discussion. Let's just, for the moment, keep
it. Yeah,
but
I'm going
to
tell you what
you've
lost. Let's avoid then the fact that one of those elements of genocide is actually losing people to death and murder, because there are four other aspects of genocide that nobody seems to care about. And that's what you see here, the marginalization of a culture, the taking away of the language, the reducing of 20-something universities to nothing. We have now not one university in Afrikaans. Do you know why? Because we have a language that is less spoken than Afrikaans that has now hijacked every university in the country.
Which language is that?
That is English.
English is less spoken?
Yeah.
In the world?
Not in the world, in South Africa. No, if we can't go by world rights, the world rights don't.
But by comparison with Zulu, we should all be speaking Zulu and we should ignore the others.
But then we don't have the history of education and pedagogy, and we don't have the manuals. At some stage in KwaZulu-Natal, the Zulu students chose Afrikaans as a second language and not Zulu or English, because for the simple reason that it was supposed at that stage a new language to tertiary education. I hope that has changed. I want to see other people. I want to see Zulus and Khoisas fight for their language the way Afrikaners do.
I actually want to catch up with you. We'll get to that in a moment, because there's a lot I need to talk about with you. I mean, we've had conversations before when you were on Idols. We had lots of conversations on and off the air, and we talked about many things. And I know that you have an abiding interest in South Africa and in history.
Mm.
But I do find it's kind of interesting to me that you speak very openly about a genocide in Afrikaners.
Yeah.
But most of the people who are dying as victims of crime in this country aren't Afrikaans people. They're black people.
Yeah.
And there isn't a big meeting of black people or anybody else who gets together and goes, okay, now we're going to go after these Afrikaans people. I mean, if that's happening, please tell me where, because I haven't heard of it. I don't see a room of people getting together to plot the destruction of the Afrikaner in particular.
Well, you don't know. You only have to just close your eyes and make it go by. You know, you don't have to.
But that's conspiracy.
You don't have to go out there and say, "Let's go kill all the Afrikaner." All you have to do is say, "Let's take away the commandos and not prioritize farm murders," and you have exactly the same effect. So I don't think there's a little group of people that get together and sit in a meeting and say, "Okay, let's go for the Afrikaner this time."
More people are killed in any given township in South Africa any night of the week.
But isn't it incredible?
In a week.
But isn't it incredible that nobody's marching for that? Isn't it incredible? Nobody's out there saying
it. We all, Steve, hate crime. Crime is not the government's fault.
Why aren't you marching? Why aren't you writing songs about it? Starting web pages about it. Because that's what we're doing. Because we're looking at our group. It's a minority group. And in a country like ours, with the biggest murder rate in the world, it's the minority groups that go first. You don't see yourself in a minority group. You see yourself in a world group minus
even,
a culture.
I don't even care about groups.
Exactly. That is the basis of Genesis. Thank you very much.
The genesis of genocide. What do you mean?
Caring about other groups because they're not
your group. No. I don't care about other groups.
Minority groups.
In that I'm not interested.
In a country with a murder rate like ours.
Steve, I'm not interested
30
in group.
Out of 100,000, your minorities go first. Your minority languages go first if you don't care about Afrikaans and Zulu.
Why this fear? Where is this coming from?
Because I have children and you don't. That's why.
What does that mean
for the future? It means
I like
thinking
life.
About
I
myself.
Like living. I'm trying to make a positive contribution to the world. I want to do things. I want to enjoy
but can
every
you?
Minute. Yes.
Have you had the conversation with your son where you say to him, "Listen, as a white father, I can promise you at this stage nothing. Nothing. You haven't had that conversation, but you will still.
My father never did promise me anything.
I don't know what your father thought of the future.
What am I going to not be able to promise my kid if I'm a white father?
Well, that if he gets 90% for math, it'll even be considered for a qualification of university. That rather than get a white engineer, they'll get someone from Cuba. Those are things, if I can go on like this forever, that's the conversation we have with our children as white fathers every day. It's not fun at all. So the kind of, had I known these things in 92 when we were asked to surrender all that great power and sovereignty of the old
South
Africa,
you would have voted no?
I would have voted no.
And then what would have happened in your estimation?
I think they would have, listen, it's hard to speculate, but I think they would have been, by that stage, that was post-apartheid, by that stage, I think they would have been, the government of transition would have been much longer. They would have been agreed that nobody rules over other people. It may have been 20 years too early, but I can see that as a world trend right now. It is, for me, I think it's okay, but for other people, slightly disarming that this right of center groups in France and Germany and Holland and in Britain right now are doing marvelously. In fact, unsettling. So look at Farage, look at Le Pen.
This is tribal. This is all tribal.
The liberal experiment failed in the last 30 years. We said we're not going to have individual tribes. We're going to be one happy, consensual little family.
What
it
experiment
didn't work.
Failed?
It the didn't countries, work. We don't like each other.
The countries that are doing the best in the world are the countries that have open-minded, liberal, forward-thinking ideas about inclusiveness, not exclusivity.
No, that is what it looked like the last 30 years. They have changed their minds, if you read history right now. Because the parties I just mentioned now won't get this prominence if you were right. But I am right. It is the world trend I'm watching.
Europe is
right
the way
now.
It is now because white Europeans are feeling that they're losing their identity to immigration and to groups that are coming in and outnumbering them in the long run.
You're telling me there's no problem.
White people aren't breeding fast enough, so they're feeling threatened. Is that what we're talking about? Is it that basic? It's that
the
basic.
The policies of every government from here onwards in Europe will be stricter on immigration.
And
you will
you
not
think,
just walk in there anymore.
And you think Europe is on the ascendant or on the decline?
I think they're on the change right now because they're discouraged of what liberal policies has bought them in the last 30 years. It didn't work.
Ever strike you that maybe Western white European civilization has had its day?
I suppose so.
I mean, haven't white Western Europeans lorded it over every other tribe in the universe for so long and at such expense to those people?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's maybe a very broad way to look at history. Do the pros and the cons, to weigh them up and say, listen, what they bought and what they took away, which is the heavier one? I'm not so sure about that.
You know,
in an era of conquest, you can't come tell me that the guy with a bigger vocabulary is the one who should have won. An era of conquest, if you stood in front of Napoleon and said, listen, this is actually my land, you can't cross it, you would not finish the sentence before losing your head.
Yes,
in the era of conquest, I think they achieved well.
Again, let's not judge history through our own rose-tinted glasses of modern morality.
And through present convictions.
But please, if the Romans didn't carry on forever, maybe it's just time. White people have done 2,000 years of good and bad.
Yeah.
It's their time now. The Romans were good and bad. They had their time. Then it was finished.
Yeah.
I just I don't know why are we clinging to things that we should look to the future with. I think you look to the future with pessimism.
I do, yeah. I'm a great pessimist.
But that's, isn't that horrible? Don't you struggle to get out of bed every day with that attitude?
No, because every time I get out of bed, the day is never as bad as I thought it would be.
that's depressing. I don't even know.
I walk out there and life just falls.
Are you on medication?
Life just falls into place and I go, nothing went wrong. This is life. And that's why, Steve, I'm looking as vital as I am and I'm as happy as I am. Because maybe it's never as bad as you thought.
Maybe there's a secret in that. But I just think that that's such a lowest common denominator. Okay, the bad things I thought would happen weren't as bad as they were, so that I've had a good day. I mean,
tell me it isn't a beautiful theology to have. No, I walk out there and I go, my wheel's going to be flat. My gate's not going to open. My dog's going to bark somebody. And the price of gold. Oh, let's leave the price of gold. All the rest is not going to fall. I walk out there and it's almost never that
Steve,
bad.
Steve, you've done so well.
Yes, I have, yeah.
You've done such a good life.
An activist doesn't just think of himself.
No, but you think about your children and you think about posterity. I know that. But right now, you have a great life.
Yeah.
The average person in this country has a much shittier life than you. And somehow they're optimistic about the future and you're not. Doesn't it cross your mind that maybe just going to a therapist twice a week would sort this whole thing out?
But would it sort out reality? Would the therapist promise me that everything's going to be okay?
Because it's not
going
to be okay. Steve,
I watch the projections all the time. I'm not
happy
with
what I see. Do you think I'm a nutcase and an ideologue and a nonsense talker? I mean, be honest with me.
You're only a realist for me because I see you get a lot of shit sometimes.
Right.
So it tells me that you are, in spite of what the consensus out there is, stick to inner conviction.
Here's what they say to me, Steve. When I say anything that black people don't like, they call me Steve Hoffmeyer.
Yeah.
When I say anything white people don't like, they call me Julius Malema. I can't win because I'm always being compared to either you or Julius. There couldn't possibly be any ground between where someone might be sensible or might even think, because I'm sure there are areas where you and Julius might actually agree. And there are probably areas where you and the president would agree. I mean, you did have that bri with him once.
Yeah. Well, that was before he was president, because I had hope, you know, I believed in him. But I'm pretty disappointed with the president. Julius Malema is what he is. I don't really have an opinion about him.
You don't think,
I think the crazy left looks like that, you know, and people say the crazy right looks like me. So
you don't think he's right to be taking the president on?
Yeah, I think so, but that's a dialogue thing, you know. I'm not a Marxist. I don't believe that his ways will solve anything. I'm a capitalist. I don't see how nationalization solves things. I don't see how Marxism has changed the life and the fate of any developing countries in the world. So, it favors Julius Malema that nobody in his party really likes to read much or goes to school, it seems, because when they read this, they will realize that there must be other ways to solve this country. To make this country rich again is what I want to do.
How are you going to do that? You can only sell so many CDs in 2050.
And I'm not going to share that money with anybody. Yeah, well, you'll sit down and discuss the old school of thoughts of Marxism against capitalism. They both have their ups and their downs and their pros and their cons, but it's not Marxism and socialism is not going to save this country. If you have in 20 years not done a single thing, we're the greatest country on earth, not a single thing to unemployment. In fact, it is worse than apartheid.
No, it stayed exactly the same.
That's what I'm saying.
Since 2009, it has gone no higher than 26% and no lower than 24%.
And the youth unemployment of 50%. I
mean, yeah, but okay.
It's vile.
Steve,
let me
ask you, first of all, make a comment about something that it seems, and you can agree or disagree, because this will tell me a lot about how you feel about yourself and things. You don't mind labels. You call yourself a capitalist. I'm very reticent to call myself a capitalist or a Marxist, because we found that both those labels exclude the possibility and the panoply of options in between. And there are options in between. Pure capitalism is just a very evil system, and pure Marxism is just as evil because it doesn't take into consideration the pragmatism of economies, that people should be able to move their money wherever they want and all that kind of thing, even in pure communism.
That is capitalism, by the way.
It's not.
To move your money wherever you want.
No. Free market capitalism is a lot more complicated than that.
And it involves, at its zenith, the
people I suppose you hate as much as I do are hedge fund managers and corporate bankers of the like that caused the 2008 crash.
Absolutely.
Which probably affected you. It certainly affected everyone else in the world.
Yeah.
Now, that's not
good. And 110 examples of capitalism. My point is, you
call yourself a capitalist. You call yourself an Afrikaner. Now, when you take these labels on, Do you accept that there are a lot of bad things with every label and there are a lot of good things with every label, and you don't mind having all the baggage of people who've come before you that might not have thought the way you did, who also called themselves those things?
Now, the conversationally, you and I are never going to get around to anything if we have to deconstruct every single definition that's ever been invented. It gives people out there kind of an idea.
But then
of
don't
course, we gravitate between...
Why do you define it? Certain... Why do you keep allowing people to label you? It makes it easy for them to put you in a box and throw you away.
No. We need to get the conversation over. That's what we've got to do. So in order to do that, we say, listen, I'm going to walk through that door. Not, I'm going to walk through that slightly opening looking thing that isn't quite a window to get to the other side. It's not going to solve the things. We have to have this conversation. We're using these definitions. They are relative.
You're doing a rhetoric Julius here on me.
Why?
Steve, if you were a black person,
you would have felt better if I came here and said, "And listen, this is going to take a whole conversation, an hour, explaining to you how I gravitate between socialist ideas and Marxism." We'll never get around to it. I am at root a Marxist idea. I want an open market out there. I want freedom for entrepreneurs, less regulated private sector out there.
You're hopping now,
which is not what a Marxist system wants. They want nationalization, which I don't believe in at all. You know, I say liberate these companies and let them compete with each other. That is capitalism, basically.
You were born in
64.
Mm. You look so good for your age. So
yeah.
If you had been born in 64 as a black person, would that have changed your entire point of view now? Or are you so convinced of your position that even if you were black, you would
still...
No,
if I was born a black person, I would have done what black people did. But I was born a white person. Listen, that's a hypothetical question. I do answer that. If I was born Hendrik Verwoerd, I would have done what Hendrik Verwoerd did. And if I was born D.F. Malan, I would have done what D.F. Malan did.
But Steve, it's at the heart of what it means to actually understand someone else's point of view and position.
That kind of relativism will get you nowhere. Somewhere along the line, you fall off the fence and you stand strong. You say, I'm going to take a lot of criticism.
I'm never on the fence. But I try to at least appreciate the other side's argument.
I do that all the time.
Otherwise, how do you improve your argument?
I do that all the time. And then I make up my mind and I say, sorry, I'm not going to take this relative space in the middle. I'm going to choose a side. And I think if I chose this side, it would be better.
Are you ever wrong? Do you ever go in an argument, okay, that person's point of view was better than mine. I'm going to substitute my old position.
I have never been 90% right. I am a postmodernist. We are never 100% right. I have always been 90% right, and I always leave open that 10% play of error.
You know, a lot of people underestimate you. They think that you're stupid, and they like to put you into a category, a pigeonhole, a label, and then discard anything really sensible that comes out of the conversation afterwards. Do you find that there are certain people in South African politics, certain people in the South African society, even in the media, who get you, who understand, who you can talk to about things and not have to worry about being put into those boxes?
No.
No one. It's just you.
I am the happiest person in the world. I live in another number.
But you're alone.
That's what you're thinking. I'm living in another reality, in another cosmos. Out there, it's evil to sing Die Stem. My contract says you do not come sing in our town unless you sing Die Stem. Out there, I can't sing and I sing false. Last night, I got two awards like I've done since 1985.
So,
getting award. Out there, you're an arsehole and you sing crazy music. But I've sold probably still one of the top three biggest selling artists in the country.
You are.
Everywhere I get, I'm embraced by black and white and brown people and Chinese and German, everywhere in the country. My life is selfie life. It looks like it's all that we do. And I love that. So I live in a different reality to the ones sketched by liberals and from your point
there,
of view.
Those out there people, out there ones who don't get you. Are you just misunderstood or are they missing the point?
No,
you not good at articulating your position?
Yeah,
I'm probably quite bad at articulating my position.
I think that's the one point. I think the other one is that we're only having the conversations now we should have had in 1990. We are only defining, speaking about definitions, it's because we didn't settle on the definitions of what would transformation, what is racism, what is a free entrepreneur, what is capitalism, what is socialism. It's because we don't have definitions like those that today we can call a guy a racist and walk away. If we are wrong, we get no punishment. He will be punished if you are right or wrong. He is labeled the racist. One of those things where we never settled for the definitions. You've been called a racist so many times. In the last 6 months...
Have you been called a racist today?
Actually, I haven't.
Not today.
Please take a call.
Let's see. I'll take a call now.
I can call a racist immediately.
I do want to take calls. So if you want to give us a call, 0861 555 189. Do you say things like blacks are the real architects of apartheid because it's sensational, because you're looking for a fight, or do you say it because that's what you really mean? And if it is, explain it to me.
Yeah. No, it's what I really mean. Of course, the most sensationalist tweet out there is the one that will be read.
Well, that this needs is to the go one out that there. Caused
You and I gravitate between those two spaces all the time, don't we?
No, but I mean, I've said stupid stuff, and I'm the first to admit that sometimes I say stupid things. Like, for example, the most recent situation where I've been called a racist by a lot of people was probably when I said, who's paying for Senzo Miyo's funeral?
Funeral, I remember.
And I admit it after the fact. I admitted that
it was insensitive.
It was insensitive, but I don't. I still ask the question, and I still think we deserve an answer. We still don't know what the answer is.
But was it racist?
But I don't know. I really don't know.
It wasn't racist.
No, but it's in the eye of the beholder. If someone feels a certain, I know you hate moral relativism. Mm. If someone feels a certain way, you've made them feel a certain way. That's their truth. Now, how are we going to, you know, not everything is easy to understand. It all depends on your point of view.
But they should understand that as well.
Who's they?
They who disagree with you all the time, that you are always wrong.
But some, you see, I don't see it as a monolithic thing. The people who disagree with me about Senzo, for example, are not the same people who disagree with me about roads or about any other controversial things that I get involved in. And
so it's okay to say that you're slightly untouched by all that?
I don't worry about
because
it.
Because you've looked at where it comes from, basically.
But
it comes from.
There's now a guy. There's a guy, and I'm sorry I don't know his name because I should have looked it up just now. But he said, if he can get you 1 million votes, would you go into politics? And you said yes.
Yeah.
What's his name, this dude? I can't remember.
It's a radio. It's a station like yours. It's an internet radio
What's
station
it called?
Called Kuppel Stereo.
Okay. Yeah. And he said, if he can get you 1 million votes on Facebook, you would start a political party?
Well, I said I'm a populist. I'm interested in small parties. Afrikaners consist of only small parties. And you know, minorities don't count in a kind of democracy, like a mature democracy like ours. So I said, listen, if 1 million people vote for me, I may consider going into party politics. And he started a website immediately. And within 48 hours, they got 90,000 votes. And it's still growing. I think they're at 130,000 now.
I heard even more.
Maybe.
I heard they're even more.
Well,
they
now, not,
would you,
that's
what would
just
you
the,
do?
That's just the Facebook
I mean, are you going to actually have to start?
Listen, they ask me that now, and I've been sitting scratching my head because I thought it was a joke, but it looks quite serious. So there's a group out there who actually, I'm not as alone as you actually sketched me. There's a group out there who actually
Clearly.
Really believes that it can be done. Let me just quickly get back to blacks are the architects of apartheid. That's, of course, not the whole tweet. I said I worded it very specifically. If you're very dumb, you read that literary. If you're clever, you'll know that what I'm saying is through history, it has been the case that black people as a whole, as a group, has not inspired integration. Just imagine that still being true. Just imagine it being untrue that Israel actually just ships black people right back to Africa without asking questions, that they are doing everything to secure that Mediterranean, to not let Africans go across. That was the case in history. Not all of it was right, but most of it is. That the black people did not, in history, inspire integration. You couldn't just come land here. You had to conquer somebody. And, of course, the West had the ability to do that. That's history. Just imagine if that's still being true. You're walking out there, and you're doing it to yourself as a group. Just imagine shitting in your hand and throwing this handful of feces at an old 1902 person statue. How does that inspire integration?
Nobody shat in their hands.
Well, they shit in somebody else's hand, and whatever shit they use, it doesn't
matter.
No,
I mean, it's buckets, and let's also be fair that
somebody
in this country
shat.
There are some people
who have to get feces by shitting. No, it just shows you the contempt. Now, just imagine, I always ask myself, what if everybody did that? What if everybody did that?
Steve, was there ever a time where you felt like you were part of what was going on?
Oh, yes. I reckon for the first 5 years of the new South Africa, I was just so proud of what we got right.
What happened to make it? Because now you're not. You don't feel part of this. What's happened?
They did not make a new road. They take the old street name and changed it. One simple little road. Then it came to town names. Then it became to statues that were removed. They didn't build new statues. They didn't build new towns with the potential to become Western fortresses. They changed the names.
Not we?
The black government.
The black government.
Yeah. The government I would not have voted. Well, I didn't vote for them, but I voted for the new South African. I know what it meant that I would not have voted for had I known this was going to be the dagger in the heart of my own culture and their contributions. So listen, the basics of what you and I are discussing today and the basics of Steve Hofmeyr is that I voted yes because because I thought we have a shared culpability to this crazy country. Black people say no, but then they only go back to 1990. I mean, their New South Africa starts basically with Verwoerd. My New South Africa starts with 1180, if it can go back as far as the written word or history was monitored or recorded by the world. So that's the basics of us. That's the basics. The basic difference is how far back in history do you go to work out the culpability of two opposing groups? At the end of the day, I go, all this stuff is just unquantifiable. Let's break even. Say, listen, you did wrong, I did wrong, you started late, I misabused.
That would be very convenient for us white people. It would be great to just be absolved of our responsibility.
That is exactly what makes you the liberal and me the conservative.
I'm happy to be called a liberal. I think that you and I might share some philosophical ideas, but I do not feel this fear. I do not feel it's us and them. I'm part of the solution and the problem here, and I want to help fix
things.
No, I
don't believe that at all.
Don't you think that it would be better for you to be constructive, to build a future for your children, who you said you feel that you can't promise them anything? Yeah. Well, I mean, rather than dividing, let's build something worth being proud of. There's a tomorrow that we can have.
What other index failure should South Africa have before you realize that you have very little to promise your children?
Steve, leave them.
What kind of optimism? But that is one of the aspects. That is one of the elements of genocide.
No,
is getting rid of people who have
you.
The right to stay exactly where they are.
We're
proud of their country.
When you're told to leave somewhere, that's not genocide. There are many, many people who managed to escape Germany, and thank God they did, or their descendants wouldn't be living here now.
Genocide is the attitude that you have telling people and then acting on it by keeping people out of the job force out there based on their skin color.
The world is increasingly globalized. You can sit on your computer in your study at home, and I'm sure you don't have a shitty house, and I'm sure you have people who clean your house for you, and I'm sure you've got all kinds of other things that make your life not terribly uncomfortable.
Yeah, but how rich I am has nothing to do with my cultural preferences.
No, I'm just saying, your life is not shit.
My love for my tribe.
You didn't wake up this morning and have to face a horde of marauding zombies.
When I march for a Boer woman who was raped through the night, I'm not thinking of Steve Hoffmeyer
at that stage.
I'm not thinking of Steve Hoffmeyer at all. We're speaking about the one murder per week that we've had for 20 years that nobody cares about, from that group called the farmer, the white farmer, the commercial farmer. So I march for them because the genesis of my culture comes through the farmer, and it's kind of my culture. It's a group within my group. So that's my campaign, and I fight for them, and I want the people to hear about it. Do you know the figures? At what rate we are losing these farmers? So no, I'm marching for them. I fight for them. That is my point. Why aren't you doing it? Why aren't you seeing the calamity as well? Because you're not seeing the calamity. You're not careful to avoid it. You say, listen, man, we're all guilty. So listen, why don't we take all our money and find the murderers of our country on the West Coast? It's those flippin' white fishermen. I know it. And that's what we're doing. Wasting a lot of resources trying to get to the problem for the simple groups in South Africa don't take responsibility. And if the Afrikaner did not take responsibility, you wouldn't have had the yes vote. You would have had a different South Africa. We as a group
I was too young even to take part in the referendum.
I was just old enough to take part in it.
Okay, I don't want to imagine what would have happened if people voted no. I don't think that's the kind of country I would have wanted to be a part of. Just me. I can only speak for myself. And your illustration of what might have happened there is, it's a little nebulous, but at its best, it seems to me like you're constructing like a happy picture where there probably would have been some.
Not at all. But you're giving me a what if hypothesis.
Okay.
What if?
Then let's stay away from what if. But if you're so unhappy, Steve, and I don't want you to go, I think you have a part to play here.
I'm not going. I'm extremely happy.
Okay, but then you're not happy. You told me you're not happy.
As a cultural being, as a cultural animal, I am extremely unhappy.
You're building lagers.
I'm worried.
You're building a lager.
Let me tell you what it is.
You're closing yourself off. You want your own kind of government. You want to only be surrounded by people like you. That's not being happy, and that's not being inclusive.
How
and that's
can
not
you
being
call an
things.
International right what you just called it?
I don't have. I'm
that
not.
Is vile.
I'm not
that's
the
terrible,
hey.
Gareth.
No, Steve. I'm not saying anyone must be exterminated. I'm not saying anyone should be murdered.
But the right to govern your own group, the right to govern yourself, is an international right. You just chat on it.
I did not, Steve.
You did.
Do you know who? You know who the biggest group in the world, the biggest minority in the world who don't have the right to govern themselves? Do you know who they are?
No.
The Kurds in Iraq.
Oh, is that so?
The Kurds were actually massacred and murdered. by Saddam Hussein in their droves. They were gassed and buried in mass graves. The Kurds still do not have the ability to govern themselves.
I think there's more than 52 stateless nations.
Which I think is a travesty. But the Afrikaners are not...
Why don't you want to extend that right to the Afrikaners?
They're part of South Africa.
No, they are vendor. They are causer groups that have gone to visit Iran to see how they're doing this independence. The Khoi are right behind the Afrikaner because they want complete independence. In fact, they're actual First Nation that we actually deserve. So, no, there are lots of groups like my group that want independence. You would like to see
a whole lot of different states instead of South Africa because we just can't get...
Yeah, there are different models.
We can't get along... We can't be adult about this, so we'll just split the country into a whole different bunch of provinces.
Which is called federalism, and what's the problem with
federalism,
that?
Federalism, it's homelands.
That's right.
An Afrikaner homeland, a vendor homeland. We've tried that. It really didn't work.
No, we haven't tried that at all.
History's on my side. We haven't tried that at all. Oh, really?
Yeah, because your homeland you go into and you make it work and you create an independence. Those were dependent states. In fact, it was disliked from the beginning because there was a 90-year propaganda from black consciousness movements. Everything you see around yours is actually yours.
So it's black people's fault that those independent Bantustans didn't work. It's not the fault of the nationalist Afrikaner government who constructed them to fail.
The white nationalists spoke for a sovereignty that once again you are shitting on if you discount the fact they went through two wars against the greatest imperial force out there and lost.
So
one,
if you lose,
by the way, yes,
and you lost in 94, so now you've lost.
Nobody lost. Somebody had to vote yes or no for this country to even begin to happen.
If you had, and it seems to me that you want to talk about tribes here. So 94, the whole country went to the polls.
No, because before I keep saying 92, and I want you to know why.
92, because only white people should have been able to choose?
But it was their sovereignty.
No, there's no such thing.
Only white people, it was their sovereignty. They paid the taxes, and it was their country. That's how they saw it. Doesn't matter if it doesn't sound right today. That's how I saw it. So the question was, do you give up all the power in the world and just be magnanimous? And guess what they said? Yes. Yes, we will. We will.
You wouldn't have said it, though. So now you can't claim to have been on the right side of things then.
No, I said it. I was an immature student. It doesn't matter
but
at this
now,
stage.
If you look
I wasn't
back,
a political
the
animal.
The Steve of today would have voted no.
I would have voted no.
See, this is, to me, it's a cognitive dissonance. You either...
Because I'm not saying what is coming out of your mouth. Is that why?
No, Steve. Please. My own opinions are
because
the
who is in my shoes?
In
who goes
right
out
now?
There every weekend?
Here's what you're saying. You're saying we must look at 92 because what happened in 92 was the grandest statement, not 94, the grandest statement by white people that they wanted to do this.
You and I agree that we're speaking from a certain tribe's point of view, and from my tribe's point of view, we had to give up the power. We had to give up the sovereignty, which we did. Which we did. Hey, very close vote, by the way, but we did. And I was one of the students who went, New South Africa, let's just do it. I was in Central Park singing with my fist in the air.
Now, you can't still claim those colors if you're going to say that if you could go back now, you would have said no.
That's right. That's for the same reason
that
you will dislike the old flag and maybe the stem for that matter. But you won't say a word against the kind of murder rate and rape rate we have under the banner of the new flag, under the banner of the new anthem. That seems to be okay. The fact that we've agreed that nothing's been done to unemployment. But you know, at least we've got a new flag and a new anthem. That's the world that you're creating here. How can that be okay? How can that be okay?
Don't you feel sometimes like a fraud when you're lying in your bed at night and you're living in this country and you continue to do well, not just financially, but you continue to flourish. You have a huge support base. You are inspiring to groups of people. People love you in this country. A lot of people. I'm not saying it's just white Afrikaners who love you. There are lots of people who just like someone who stands up for themselves. They like someone who has something to say.
I appreciate that.
I don't dislike you, and I honestly don't have a position for or against you. But my problem is that you must lie in bed sometimes and think, you know, my life has been really good. I've been a success since the 1980s, which is something very few people in entertainment get right. I continue to evolve as a sentient being. I've seen all the way my rights increase, my rights flourish. Hmm. I've become a person who's able to take a position in a country which is not the majority opinion and not have my voice talked down or crushed underfoot by a government that won't.
Do you want me to bring the people like you, that are white like you, that haven't had that liberty, that can't get work today, the 3,000 engineers that are white, and because they are white, they have to leave ESCOM?
Steve,
they won't sit next to you and say, we don't know what you're talking about.
I'm in a position to give expert evidence of the fact that I left what is essentially state employment, the worst kind,
yeah,
to go it alone on my own money and do this, that's, which I believe in. And I believe in it in this country, Steve.
That's
so
fantastic.
I don't go around looking for jobs. I make jobs.
So your question is, do I feel like a fraud when I lie in bed at night, when I can't enjoy my wealth because I am lying there rolling around thinking of people who are tonight being not being robbed? We haven't even come to that figure yet. Being raped and being murdered. You're telling me to adjust to a certain substandard and get used to it, to pretend that I'm not used to a better standard?
When is the glory day when this didn't happen in human history, when people weren't threatened by violence and other people? Whether it's tribal or any other.
This isn't any old country murder rate. This isn't any old granny murder rates, granny rape rate statistic. This isn't any toddler rape statistic. People keep saying, yeah, but white people also rape. You're right. Right. White people rape all over the world. Any tribe rapes. It's when you reach a tipping point where you take the Olympic flag, you are the number one rape country.
This
you are the number one murder country.
This is that's all that it, you're being sensationalist talking about grannies and toddlers.
Let me tell you how sensationalist it is. Your world murder rate is what, 6 out of 100,000? The countries of my ancestors' birth is 1 out of 100,000.
What's that?
Holland. France, Switzerland is 0.5%. Africa is 16 out of 100,000. South Africa is 30. Our policemen are 50 out of 100,000. That's genocide. Our farmers are 130 and never below 100,000. That group, the most murdered group in the world, and I can't believe people are asking me to feel like a fraud.
Steve, if you only look at this area of the map and you ignore the rest of the map.
No, that's my campaign. You can't deny campaigns. That's like saying if you only look at the rhinos, what the hell's happening to the elephants? Well, do something for the elephants. I chose the rhino. And in this case, this is my campaign. What have you done for the northern Japanese sperm whale fishermen's widows? Nothing. You've done nothing. And you're telling me to look at the whole map. You're concentrating on something else.
Do you believe in democracy?
60% of the time.
What's better than that?
No, you're right. It's the best of worst systems, like okay. I believe capitalism is the best
now,
of worst
now
systems.
Now, we've got international borders.
Yeah.
This country is a well-defined space. You must choose. You're either going to be in it and try to change it here and now, which it seems to be.
Are you telling me democracy is the only option out there?
Well, no.
What about self-rule?
How are you going to do that, Steve? How are you going to get that?
No,
let's imagine tomorrow that everybody in Parliament decides, all right, you know, Steve makes a good point. Let's give him an Afrikaner homeland where Afrikaans people who want to be only among Afrikaans people, want to rule themselves, can go. Where would you make that?
I'm a friend of the almost six different models out there. Oasis have got a model. Prague has got a model. Of course, Orania is a model by itself, but that's only a small town. May I tell you?
Where would you do this? I just want to know what part of the country you need. Because I almost want to try and find a solution right now. Which part of the country do you want?
Well, like I said, this is not my area of approval. I know what their borders look like for these different groups, and I'm a friend of all of theirs, so I can tell you that.
Because there are Afrikaners all over South Africa, right? There are Afrikaans people in every part of the country, the least populated and the most populated.
Nobody has to move anywhere. You don't have to give up a place and go there. You just need a safe haven, maybe a safe haven. Where your monuments
where
are removed.
Where the blacks can't get you.
No, where the blacks can't rule over minorities. Anybody's allowed to go anywhere. Blacks and whites and browns are all welcome in Orania. They go in there. They can do anything they want, but they can't edge themselves into the government and start controlling a minority. Let me tell you something about that silly town everybody laughs at.
What, Orania?
0% murder rate in 20 years. 0% rape rate in 20 years. 100% pass rate in 20 years. Zero corruption. No democracy, by the way. No democracy. And everybody is welcome and received with open arms, as was Julius Malema and Nelson Mandela. They went to visit there as well. That is an international... I know you laugh at it, but it is an international right. Keep reminding yourself that it is.
Sure it is. I love the way that we claim international rights now that it suits us as Afrikaners.
When you laugh at them.
But when Afrikaners were the very group acting against the international rights of the majority of the population for how many years in this country, it wasn't an issue.
But you and I know that there's very little of apartheid that can be defended, and I've never tried that. There are parts of it that can.
But you're talking about a new kind of apartheid. You're just doing what you say affirmative action is doing on a geographical scale.
Exactly.
You're saying, this is...
But that kind of apartheid, that kind of separate development, the right to not be ruled by other people is apartheid.
You can't exist under a black government. You can't carry on to have a happy life unless you're ruled by your own kind.
Yeah, that's right. I can't I can't work in a world where my tax and hard work is not allowed to come back to me. I can't do that. I don't understand it. I can't work in a country where I tell my children, you're not going to make it because you're the wrong skin color. Then, it is exactly the apartheid I was trying to get away from.
Maybe this isn't the country for you.
No, no, no. It is the country for me. This is the only country for me.
But it seems that everything
I can immigrate anytime I want.
Stacked against you. Well, then why haven't you?
Everything isn't stacked against me. I am not in charge of my own fate, and my group is not in charge of my own fate.
Why this feeling of disempowerment? I feel empowered. I'm just like you. I'm just like you in that I'm white. I don't have this feeling.
Oh, how wonderful to sit there. You must get out there.
I must be
and
afraid.
You must embrace more people. And really, I think getting the children will make it a big difference. You know why? Because every time you sit there and tell me how well off you are and wealthy you are and how brilliant it is, I am that other kind of person who thinks of the guy who isn't getting it, of a guy who right now is denied a university qualification for the simple fact that he's pigmentation. It's something as silly as pigmentation.
It's amazing to me. You talk about focusing on the rhino, but you seem to be really worried about the elephants at the same time. We've got to pare down this argument, and I wish I had another hour of your time, because I actually wanted to find out like what else is going on in your life. We ended up having a political discourse.
But don't you and I do this all the time? Whenever I walk into you, we have a good debate. I like it.
I appreciate people who disagree with me far more than I appreciate people who agree with me. And I include you in the disagree category, because we disagree far more than we agree. But I always step away from these things, usually with a feeling that I've learned something. I mean, I have to digest a lot of what you've said, and I think maybe people who are listening also will have to think about what you've said, because maybe that there has to be, in any point of view, there has to be some truth, even if it's only an experienced truth. I wish it could be different. I wish that you didn't think that it was impossible to be the guy that you are under a black government, because that's the reality. You are that guy, and you are living in this country, and you are having a good life.
But I can't apologize for a personality trait that is skeptical. What you see out there makes you optimistic about the future, and what I see out there makes me pessimistic about the future.
Maybe you're mixing with negative people.
No, no, why?
Maybe your tribe are dragging you down.
Or maybe, like right now, my inner conviction is not respected.
Maybe your tribe are wrong.
Yeah, maybe they're lying there bleeding on the floor because the roof fell in.
No. Because that's not the state of most Afrikaans people in this country, lying on the floor bleeding.
But that isn't what a campaign is.
Most Afrikaans people in this country are still far more privileged than most black people in this country, and always will be because of history.
That's right.
So why are they complaining more than the black people who were oppressed?
Because they are used to a certain standard. They'd like to upkeep
that. So they, at the expense of whoever?
It doesn't matter. In a sovereignty, you don't have to care about the others. You have to work yours first and the people who pay their taxes. Okay.
So
I'm speaking about that sovereignty.
Sovereignty. No, you say sovereignty, but yeah. I'm hearing selfish. I'm hearing, as long as it's okay inside my walls, no matter how high I have to build
this
them.
Is the discussion that is being had right now in Europe.
It wasn't.
How can you not be nice to the people
who are infiltrating?
It wasn't roaring,
it was weeping. I'll just keep on building those walls.
I'm afraid that's the way the world is gonna go. People
what a
are
horrible world!
It is. It is very sad. Not for me.
I'm sad.
It's the world out there.
No, it's not.
So
I'm
what? What is the international law?
Steve,
right to rule yourself,
Steve? Don't you believe?
Is it weeping?
Don't you believe?
It's weeping.
The world is weeping a lot less than it was 20 years ago.
That you can govern
Steve.
Yourself, you have just said, is basically woeful.
How do you see this as governing yourself? Aren't you already governing yourself? Don't you have private medical aid?
There you go, speaking about people who have everything.
Don't you
again.
Have private security?
That's me.
No. This is you governing
the
yourself.
Campaign
you
is
want to
not...
govern yourself, have a generator, have medical aid, build your walls as high as you need to, hire private security, buy yourself a big armored car, and you never need to worry about the rest of the world. But if you really care about other people, not just your people, you have to accept that the world's better now for the average person than it's ever been, Steve.
I love your rose-tinted glasses. They are beautiful. You must lend them to me. I want to see South Africa through those. I don't. I see a very sore country. I see a pain country. All South Africans in deep pain. So, yeah, I can't help everybody, but I can go into my group. That's what a generalization is, that you can only fix things from inside your group.
I want you to meet more of the young black people that I've met. I want you to see how...
No. I don't sit in a studio every day.
I'm not
sitting... I travel the country.
You travel...
That is my life for 30 years.
Do.
I've met every sort of South African.
I have never,
sun.
Ever disputed, and I've always said that every cent you've earned, you've worked bloody hard for. You work 300 nights out of 365 in the year. And you're
I'm the kind of liberal who won't enjoy any of that when I think of other people suffering, including black people. But my campaign for now, I just don't have the luxury to go and save the planet. I'm going to go for my little group there and make sure they're okay. Because the standard...
It's like a focused philanthropy.
It's like... Yeah, that's exactly what a campaign is, isn't it? That's another definition for a campaign. It's like saying you can't give money to US because there's so many other people that are suffering in this country. That's crazy. You pick your campaign and you concentrate on that. That is an incredible right. I just asked you about the sperm whale. You haven't answered me yet because you've done nothing for the sperm whale.
No.
I'm doing nothing for the sperm whale because it's not a priority of mine. Do I care about sperm whales? Yeah, but it's not my first priority right now. I've picked mine. Other people's fishing or collecting money for this and that. That's my campaign.
All right. You stick to your guns. I think you, in your own community, you're doing things. You're helping people. You mean a lot to a lot of South Africans. I don't know that I'll ever completely understand your position because I just think that our worldview is so different. You are not optimistic about things. I understand. No. Maybe I'm a fool. I'm the first to admit that I could have this completely wrong. I could be.
Have you ever considered the idea that we are both right? You know what epistemology is? It's just the filtering of the brain and the way subjectively we observe the world. It's a wonderful place to have, and that's why we have to talk. That's why we keep talking because we're not going to find consensus.
I don't know if we've got anywhere here. I do like talking to you.
I like talking to you. The coffee is great. The company is intellectual. And
listen, Steve. Well done on those two awards this week. You win awards every other week, so I don't know why we're making a special fuss of these ones.
It was very special.
How's your hot wife?
Incredible. Oh, man, she's just gorgeous.
You going to make more children?
Yeah, I'm going to try for one more if I can. Yeah.
What's the tally at the moment? You and President Zuma must be on a par, right?
No, not even close. I'm afraid. I'm afraid I lag behind. No, I've got five. My daughter is already 26 years old. Yes. She's a teacher in South
Korea. She's the oldest, huh?
She's the oldest. My son Armand is a singer. He's already got three CDs out there.
Really?
And then I've one who's just turned 21 yesterday, Devon. He's a bit into the acting, but he's a working man. And then I've got the two small ones that are still in school. I drive past here every day on my way to Waldorf because they're the two English boys. Their mom is Natasha.
I love Natasha. I remember I said to you once that if anything went wrong in that marriage that you'd have to hand her on to me.
And so where were you?
You didn't even tell me things were going wrong. I would have swooped in, man.
Yeah, she's lovely. She's a lovely mom. And she's we've got an amicable separation and we've got great children, which makes all the difference in the world. But Janine and I certainly do want another little one.
I would love to see you in Parliament.
Really?
I would, because I think I love diverse voices, because I think then we get really robust conversation. If everybody's talking the same game, if you're in a room of people who agree with each other, nothing.
Well, luckily that's not going to happen in South Africa.
No.
I'd like to take Parliament on the road, because that could be an opening act par excellence. I mean, they're brilliant.
Would you do Neil Diamond songs after the opening of Parliament? Is that what your contribution would be?
I Am I Said is basically the only thing you can scream out there. Yeah.
Look, you could be accused of many things, but you're an individual. And that's why I don't like this group thinking.
You're always a group,
Steve,
as well.
Steve,
you can never define yourself as an individual. You don't live on an island, Gareth.
No, but you're allowed to be...
You've just said you're part of the group that doesn't belong to a group. That's a massive group.
No, but, Steve, I have never been freer. I have never been happier. I have never felt more like I'm part of not only this country, but the world than now.
I am never freer when I'm in the arms and the embrace of my culture. And we don't have to concentrate on things. We just sing.
I think you run and hide in your culture sometimes, because that's the only place you feel safe.
I don't tell you run and hide in your place where you think you're liberated.
Because I don't have one. The world's my place.
My world is I am nothing spiritually without my culture. It is my harbor. When I walk in there on the 16th of December in the arms of my people and we sing all four verses of De Stem, I am
at
more
the
liberated
Voortrekker Monument
than ever. At the various festivals all over the country, I went to the one in the Free State. It's incredible. Exactly that which you do when you don't concentrate is your culture.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what that is. I just need to find a culture. I just don't have one.
You've just explained your culture, and I love it. You have it, and you found it, and it's a freedom out there, and you're the world, and the world seems to have consensus for you out there. You know, you're a group that gravitates.
I wonder if aliens invaded the planet tomorrow, if you would be able to put on the same uniform as a black person in this country and fight the aliens.
Yeah, absolutely.
You would?
Absolutely.
Yeah, is that what it would take?
Yeah, but that...
All right, man.
Aliens have invaded our country, and that's why I'm in my
group. We're 5 minutes over my show end already. Thank God I'm in charge, otherwise they'd fire me.
Great stuff, man. Thank you very much. And thanks for the warm reception, all the guys out there, the nice coffee. Who's the gentleman sitting in the corner there? He made the coffee.
Oh, he's black. Don't worry about him.
Yeah, I know. Why does the black guy make the coffee? Again? Because he did it very well.
Steve.
That was so cool.
Lekkerblé.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much.
And please, make your contribution. Just help me be positive about things. You don't seem like someone who should be negative. You really you laugh a lot. I do.
90% of my life is just laughter and humor. We're having a good time. We're trying to make the world better and bring some laughter to other people who don't have it.
I'm so confused by you. I really am.
I'm very glad, but because it's not your natural state, you've got your culture, and I don't want to try and change it at all. That's not why I came here, to convince you, because I can't. But you're not going to convince me either. It's just the way it is. That's the South Africa we're in.
Dis hoe dit is.
Dis hoe dit is.
All right, meneer.
My broer, lekker, bye, donkey. Liefde.
Thank you.
Cheers, man.
Steve Hofmeyr, everybody. What a guy. All right, listen, I'm sorry, Terry. I've taken up some of your time. Terry's up next with Not the 9 O'Clock Sport. We've got The Unview with Alan Ford, Somizi Mhlongo, and Lorraine Maisel coming up. We've got Like Change. Today's the first episode of Like Change with Sia Sangwenifin and Selai Tobagale. It's the first in a special series of four shows showcasing Like Change with Africa Tikkun and Popeye Media. Through the Like Change social movement, they aim to alleviate poverty in South Africa. Today's focus will be on early childhood development with special guest Vanessa Mentor from Africa Tikkun and Lauren Turnbull, CSI and sponsorship manager at KFC Add Hope. That's the highlights of today, along with Gentlemen by Choice, Between Two Femmes, Future CEOs, and Kelman on Cliff Central. Have an awesome day in the company of cliffcentral.com. We will see you tomorrow. Busy, busy day.